Mind and Body Reset, Modern Wellness Decoded. Science-backed wellness made simple.
When was the last time you stood in a city park, closed your eyes, and just listened? Not to the traffic or the sirens, but to the life humming just beneath it all.
That's a powerful question. I think for most of us, the answer is not recently enough. I was walking through a community garden a few weeks ago, one of those little plots squeezed between two high-rises, and I was just struck by the sound.
It wasn't quiet, but it was a different kind of busy. A natural busy.
A natural busy. I love that. For me, that's what sparked this whole interest. I grew up surrounded by countryside, and when I moved to the city, I felt that loss of connection so keenly. I started seeking out green spaces, practicing what some call forest bathing, even if my forest was just a handful of trees by a canal.
Right. Finding that pocket of calm in the chaos. And it was in one of those pockets that you started noticing them, wasn't it? The bees.
Exactly. I started noticing the bees, and it made me wonder, how do they survive here? And more than that, what does their presence or their absence say about the health of our urban spaces and maybe even our own health?
It's a question that completely fascinates me. We think of bees and we picture rolling fields of lavender or vast orchards, not rooftops and balcony gardens. But the story of bees in our modern world is increasingly an urban one, for better or for worse.
And that is precisely the journey we're going on today. We're going to explore the critical, often invisible, role that bees play not just in our ecosystem, but in our personal wellness. It's a story that weaves together urbanization, the science of nature therapy, and the future of these tiny, essential creatures.
We'll be looking at how our cities are impacting them. But also, and this is the part I find so hopeful, how engaging with them through things like beekeeping or even just conscious gardening can have profound therapeutic benefits for us. It's a surprising and deeply interconnected world we're about to step into.
And that hopefulness you mentioned is so crucial because it's not a simple, rosy picture. When you first hear urban bees, you might picture them struggling, right? Surrounded by concrete, pollution. But the reality is, in some ways, surprisingly different.
You mean it's not necessarily a worse environment for them?
It can actually be better, which sounds completely counterintuitive, I know. But think about their rural cousins. They're often surrounded by vast agricultural landscapes.
Right. Fields of a single crop. Monoculture.
Exactly. And those fields are often drenched in pesticides. A city, on the other hand, with its countless backyard gardens, rooftop farms, and park flowers, can offer a much more diverse and, critically, a less toxic buffet for them to forage from.
So, a bee in the city might have access to a dozen different flower types in a single block, while a bee in the countryside might only have one option for miles and miles. And that one option could be, well, contaminated.
That's the paradox. Some studies have found that city bees are genuinely healthier and more productive. But, and this is a significant but, it brings up a whole new set of challenges. It's not a utopia.
Okay, like what? What's the downside of this urban paradise?
Well, for one, competition. When we introduce managed honeybee hives into a city park, are they outcompeting the native pollinators? The bumblebees? The mason bees? The ones who were there first? There's a real debate about that.
Ah, so we could be trying to solve one problem, but inadvertently creating another. It's a delicate balance.
A very delicate balance. And it's pushed a lot of people to rethink beekeeping itself. It's led to this whole movement, often called natural beekeeping.
Natural beekeeping. That sounds... isn't all beekeeping natural?
You would think so. But many practitioners of this philosophy would argue that a lot of modern commercial beekeeping has weakened bee colonies. Things like constantly moving hives across the country for pollination, routine medication, even feeding them sugar water instead of letting them keep enough of their own honey.
So, it's a reaction against the industrialization of it. It's about treating the bees less like livestock and more like a wild organism you're stewarding.
That's a perfect way to put it. It's a shift in mindset. It even changes the physical structure they live in. Many natural beekeepers are moving away from the standard stacked box hives we all recognize.
Oh? To what?
To designs like the top bar hive, for instance. It's essentially a long horizontal box. The idea is that it more closely mimics the shape of a fallen log, a natural bee habitat. It lets the bees build their comb in the way they naturally would, without being forced into pre-made frames and foundations.
You're giving them back a level of autonomy. You're not just providing a box for them. You're creating an environment. It's a subtle distinction, but it feels profound.
It is profound. Because that shift from provider to partner changes everything. It changes the way you interact with them. You stop thinking, how can I maximize honey production? And you start asking, what does this colony need to thrive on its own terms?
So, the goal isn't necessarily a huge honey harvest. The goal is a resilient, healthy colony.
The honey becomes a byproduct, a gift, really. The real harvest is the experience itself. When you open a top bar hive, you're not just pulling out these uniform rectangular frames, you're lifting one bar at a time, revealing this beautiful, flowing natural comb that the bees have designed. You have to move slowly, gently.
Listen for what?
The tone of the hive. You can genuinely hear the difference between a calm, contented colony and one that's agitated or stressed. The pitch of the buzzing changes. It forces you into a state of, well, mindfulness. You can't be thinking about your emails or your to-do list when your hands are in a hive of 60,000 bees. Your focus has to be absolute.
That sounds incredibly meditative. But I have to ask, it also sounds a little romanticized. I mean, bees face some serious threats. The varroa mite, for instance, has decimated colonies. Doesn't this hands-off, natural approach leave them more vulnerable?
That is the million-dollar question, and it's a fair one. It's a huge point of debate in the beekeeping community. And natural doesn't mean neglectful. It's not about just leaving them to fend for themselves against problems they wouldn't face in a truly wild setting.
Okay, so how do you intervene without breaking that philosophy?
It's about integrated pest management, but from the bee's perspective. Instead of routinely treating a hive with chemicals, a natural beekeeper might focus on genetics, raising queens from survivor stock that has natural resistance to mites. Or they might use non-invasive physical methods, like breaking the brood cycle at a key moment to disrupt the mite's life cycle.
So you're trying to bolster their own defenses rather than just carpet bombing the problem.
Precisely. You're trying to foster resilience. And what's fascinating is how this ties back to the urban environment we started with. In some ways, a city rooftop can be an easier place to practice this.
How so? I would have thought the opposite. More stress, more concentrated, everything.
You're often more isolated from the large-scale commercial apiaries. There's less risk of diseases or mites spreading from a massive migratory beekeeping operation down the road, which is a huge problem in agricultural areas. Your bees are in a little bubble, in a way.
A bubble with its own unique challenges, I'm sure. Like a swarm descending on a neighbor's barbecue.
Oh, that's a whole other conversation, but yes, it requires a different kind of responsibility. But what I keep coming back to is the personal impact. I've talked to so many urban beekeepers, accountants, artists, teachers, and they all say the same thing. It's not a hobby, it's a connection. It's a tangible link to the seasons and the natural world, right outside their apartment window.
It makes the invisible visible. You start noticing what's blooming in the park down the street not just because it's pretty, but because you know it's what's feeding your colony. Your whole perception of your neighborhood must change.
It absolutely does. It's like you're given a new lens, a A weed growing in a crack in the pavement is no longer an eyesore. It might be dandelion, which is one of the first and most important food sources for bees in the spring. You start to see the whole city as this complex, interconnected web, and you realize you're a part of it, not just living on top of it.
And that, I think, is the most powerful takeaway for me from this whole conversation. We started by talking about the bees, but we've ended up talking about our own perception, about mindfulness, about connection. But I wonder, does it feel a little out of reach for some people? I mean, not everyone can or wants to set up a hive on their roof.
That's a really important point. And no, it's not about everyone becoming a beekeeper. That would probably create its own set of problems. It's about adopting a beekeeper's awareness. You don't need a hive to make a difference. You can plant lavender in a window box. You can let a patch of your lawn grow wild with clover. You can choose not to spray pesticides.
So it's about creating an oasis, no matter how small. It's about seeing your balcony or your small yard, not as your property, but as a potential refueling station for this entire invisible workforce that's keeping the city alive.
Exactly. It's a shift from being a passive resident to an active steward of your tiny patch of the ecosystem. And that simple act, that conscious choice, has its own therapeutic benefit, just like tending a hive does. It's a vote for a healthier, more connected world.
I love that. A vote for a healthier world cast with a packet of seeds. It brings this whole huge topic right down to a personal, manageable, and hopeful scale. It's not just about saving the bees. It's about what paying attention to them can save in us.
Well said. They're a kind of bioindicator, aren't they? If the bees are thriving, it means there's diversity, there's clean food, there's a system in balance. And if we can create an environment where they thrive, chances are it's an environment where we'll thrive too.
A beautiful and slightly humbling final thought. It really has been a fascinating journey from the concrete jungle to the heart of the hive. Thank you, as always, for the insight.
My pleasure. It's a world I could talk about for hours.
And to everyone listening, thank you for joining us. We hope this has given you a new way to look at the green and not so green spaces around you. Until next time, take a moment to notice the little things. You might be surprised what you find.